Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. My shows are for you so you can heal, grow, and be the very best you can be. The topic I'll be discussing today is difficult, controlling mothers. Life without the guilt trip. Mothers are not perfect. From time to time, even the calmest, most rational and understanding mother becomes frustrated and loses control. That's certainly understandable. Mothering is probably the most complex, challenging job any woman could ever have. Women especially understand and appreciate that when they become mothers themselves. But today's discussion is much more specific. It's not about mothers that we occasionally have problems with. Today, I'm going to talk about truly difficult mothers, mothers that have always been and continue to be difficult all the time. If you're listening to this show, chances are you are the child of a difficult mother and will identify with much of the information I share with you. Perhaps your eyes will be opened in a way they never were before. Hopefully, you will finally understand where your pain is coming from and how to heal it. Most difficult mothers do not set out to hurt their children. They usually do the best they can do with what they know. They truly believe that they are good, dedicated, supportive mothers who only act out of love. Though they'll never admit it to themselves or anyone else, the love and approval they give is usually given on a conditional basis. It can just as easily be taken away. Difficult mothers are not usually or necessarily abusive mothers, but there is a fine line between the two. Some cross over the line into emotional abuse and some don't. Usually, these mothers are quite capable and attentive to their children in other areas of mothering. If they can afford it, their children are usually well-fed, well-clothed, and medically cared for. But these same mothers may be so wrapped up in their own stresses and needs that they become oblivious to the emotional needs of their children. Difficult mothers tend to treat each child in the family differently, assign labels to them, or have different expectations of each of them. They often have a favorite or golden child, and they make no attempt to hide their feelings about it from their other children. Sons may be treated different than daughters. They may dote on one child and ignore or abuse the other. They may compare the strengths and weaknesses of one child to another. Some difficult mothers pit siblings against each other by talking negatively about one child to another and then telling them not to repeat it. My mother did most of the above. And typical of difficult mothers, she had an unpredictable, volatile temper. As the youngest child, I did anything I could do to pacify her and keep her happy. Until I reached my saturation point at 42. Difficult mothers rule by anger, fear, and guilt, but they may not display that behavior in public. They may put on an entirely different face and demeanor when they're at work, with friends, and out in public. They may even be even-keeled and lovable outside of their family. Everyone loved my mother and wanted to adopt her as their own. Difficult mothers only get away with bullying their families because they are allowed to. Some berate and demean their spouses the same way they do their kids. Husbands that indulge their wives' abusive behaviors by having everyone in the family tiptoe around her only make the problem worse. My father was demeaned and berated by my mother just as much, if not more, than my sisters and I were. My mother had him believing that he was all the bad things she said he was. Still, he defended her to the hilt and worshiped the ground she walked on. He blindly sided with her against my sisters and I, no matter what she did, and then gave us grief for upsetting her. When this is allowed to happen, when children have no parental allies to turn to, they suffer tremendously. Children that have reliable, trustworthy, understanding people to talk to, like their father, grandparents, siblings, or friends, usually fare much better. How does all this spiral so out of control? I'll start from the beginning. Our first emotional attachment is the maternal bond. As infants, with an undeveloped sense of self, we feel as if we are one with our mother. As we grow, it is up to our mother to help us identify who we are and what makes us special by encouraging us through the developmental stages of separation. For mother to accomplish that, she must first understand that her child is a separate person from her, an individual with their own feelings, views, likes, and dislikes. A child's earlier stages of separation are mostly non-threatening to a budding difficult mother, as long as she continues to feel that the child is dependent on her, that she is needed, and that she is still in control. She may see the child as an extension of herself, or perhaps her property, but that doesn't matter to the child. At this point, mother is still the center of their world, too. They want to please her and make her happy. But as the child gets older and gradually tries to pull away to develop a sense of self, their desperate mother pulls the reins tighter and tighter, and she begins putting her manipulation tactics into play. Since the child is still largely dependent on their mother, afraid of rejection and abandonment, asserting their independence is entirely out of the question. It would make their life a living nightmare. The only thing they can do is to avoid their mother's unpredictable rage at all cost. Often they assume an angelic, compliant persona that they use to placate mom and keep her happy. And they develop whatever coping skills and strategies are needed to self-protect, mostly unhealthy ones, while maintaining a peaceful relationship with their mother in the home. But nature can't be stopped. The child continues to crave independence more and more, no matter how suppressed their mother has tried to keep them. They know they can't be authentic with their mother. It might upset her, hurt her, or spark her rage. At the same time, they feel terribly guilty for feeling the need to separate from her. So they may compensate by trying to express their individuality outside of the home and then being who their mother wants them to be when they're in her presence. Having to cover up and lie about the goings-on of their life in order to protect their mother is very stressful. It further amplifies their confusing, undefined sense of self. Since they have counted on their mother to tell them who they are, part of them is who she wants them to be. The other part is a struggling work in progress that keeps them feeling lost and insecure. The natural stages of separation that every child needs to go through in order to become an emotionally healthy adult are stunted, skewed, and riddled with guilt. Even so, on the outside, the child of a difficult mother will often appear self-sufficient, happy, strong, and resilient. That is simply a facade. Children of difficult mothers may take on their burdens with a smile, but inside they are a miserable, emotional, nervous wreck. There are some children of difficult mothers who are forced to mature long before they are ready. They have to forego their childhood because their mother acts helpless and expects them to take over her role. These mothers coerce their children by praising them. They'll tell the child what an angel they are, that they couldn't possibly survive without them. There is a narcissistic component to some difficult mothers. These mothers may set unreasonably high or nonsensical expectations for their children in order to make themselves look good. They may demand perfection from their children because it's all about the image and reputation, how they and their family look to other people. My mother saw to it that our family looked perfect to the outside, even though all hell was breaking loose inside of our home. In every picture my father took of me and my sisters, we have perfectly polished shoes, and we are posed with all of our toes facing the same way. It was all about perfection and image. There are also mothers that actually envy or resent their children. This behavior, confusing and detrimental to a child's emotional health, is usually directed at daughters. They do not want their daughters to be any happier than they are. So when these children show happiness, excitement, or share an achievement that they are proud of, they are met with a scowl on their mother's face or belittled by her nasty, insulting comments. After years of being cut down to size for their achievements or resented for their happiness, these children grow up terrified of success and rejection, or become overachievers because they feel like they never measure up. And they are plagued by anxiety when life is good or things go their way. Difficult mothers are the queens of the surprise attack. You never know what mood awaits you when she walks in the door or when you come home. My sisters and I experienced that feeling every day. Sometimes she was in a good mood, but we never knew what to expect. We braced ourselves every time we heard her car pull up and heard her walk in the door. This kind of unpredictable, explosive anger is absolutely terrifying for children. and it keeps them constantly on edge. Many adults can't seem to outgrow the childhood memories of the fear caused by their mother's unpredictable anger, and even continue to recall the look of rage on her face. Guilt is a powerful manipulation tool often used by the difficult mother. There are several methods she'll use to make the child feel guilty. The martyr is one tactic used to get attention. She'll overtly act hurt or sick, but will deny it and refuse to tell you what's bothering her. Another tactic used to get you to pity her, put her first, and prove your love is self-deprecation. Or she may try to make you feel bad by talking about the limited time she has on this earth. Some difficult mothers use unhappiness, real or put on, to show their disappointment in you and guilt you into pleasing them. There are mothers who use depression as an excuse to totally fall apart. That manipulation is intended to get you to pick up the pieces of their life for them. Sometimes that involves taking over the care of your father and or your siblings. And then there's the mother who will actually make herself physically sick to punish you if you do something to hurt her or go against her rules. That tactic was my mother's favorite. So much more to come. I'm going to take a brief 1-minute intermission, and then I'll continue. I will be right back. Difficult, controlling mothers, life without the guilt trip. Children raised by difficult mothers may learn to associate love and authority with anger and manipulation. They may develop a pattern of attraction to those who are hostile or quick to anger. They learn to only feel worthy, accepted, or loved if they're pleasing others. Adult children of difficult mothers tend to play the doormat role over and over throughout their life. Then they get frustrated when others don't appreciate how they've gone out of their way to help them, only because they don't recognize their own dysfunctional patterns. As time goes on, the adult child feels like they can never do enough to please their mother. The demands become greater and greater. One slip up, and they end up threatened or in the doghouse. As it was for me, just the thought of their mother's wrath makes them cower or suffer paralyzing anxiety. And also, as it was for me, just the presence of their difficult mother may suck all the life out of them, make them feel tired and drained. These reactions continue well into adulthood, impacting their happiness and every choice they make. Mother continues to loom larger than life over them. Well into their 30s, 40s, and 50s, the adult child of a difficult mother suffers miserably. It's emotional torture that they feel helpless to change. Their mother still sees them as a child and thinks of them as her property. with this skewed outlook, she doesn't think twice about continuing to lay her expectations on them. The adult child desperately wants to change the nature of the relationship with their mother, take back their power, but they have great difficulty. This deeply ingrained pattern of pleasing their mother began in their formative years. It's who they are, who they've always been, and it's not easy to change. Hoping it will relieve the pressure, many adult children of difficult mothers wish that their mothers would just leave them alone forever, maybe even disappear or die. Then they feel guilty for feeling that way. Unfortunately, if their mother does die before they have worked through their childhood issues, their pain and guilt may gnaw at their conscience forever. That alone should give you the incentive to fix the problem now. If you're the child of a difficult mother, you've probably been listening to the story of your life. Those that haven't walked in your shoes will never understand the profound pain and frustration that you carry inside of you. People will advise you to just tell your mother to get off your back and then move on with your life. If they haven't experienced it, they can't possibly understand how agonizing and deep-seated your pain is. The first thing you must understand is that your mother will never change. She probably will never admit that she did anything wrong, or she'll deny that anything ever happened. You can talk it out, rationalize, plead, or threaten, but your mother is not going to change her ways and make this easy for you. Short of a miracle, she'll never see it from your viewpoint. Yes, your mother victimized you when you were younger. When you were a child, it was her problem. But now you're an adult, and it's your problem. As Dr. Phil likes to say, this situation needs a hero. Somebody has to fix the problem, and that somebody is you. Blaming your mother will just keep you in pain. It's up to you to find the courage, do the work, and change yourself. With determination, you can and you will have the life you hope for. Everything will change for the better once you get your mother off your back. The second thing to understand is that your problem with your mother is a boundary issue. You may or may not have heard the term boundary used this way, but I'll explain. In the beginning of the show, I talked about the stages of separation a child goes through that prepare them for adulthood. A mother is supposed to gently guide their child on their way to becoming an individual by encouraging them through these stages. Her goal should be to raise a well-adjusted child who grows up to be a confident, self-sufficient adult. But that's not what she did. Probably because in mothering you, she just repeated the way she was mothered. Your mother never defined the lines for you of where she left off as an individual and where you began. Her mother probably didn't define them for her either, so the concept of boundaries between mother and child may be entirely foreign to her. Your mother sees you as an extension of herself. There are no boundaries between the two of you. She feels privy to interject herself into every aspect of your life. And until you teach her what is and what is not acceptable, she will never stop acting this way. It's up to you to draw the line between the two of you and insist that she stay on her side. There has to be rules, and there has to be consequences for breaking those rules. Nothing will change until you put yourself in the driver's seat. Once you learn how to do this, your mother won't seem so powerful or scary anymore. You'll wonder why you had given her so much of your personal power for so long. She's had it her way all these years. She's a big girl, and she's a survivor. It's your turn to have it your way. It's your life, so seize it. You deserve that. Like I said, she is not going to make this easy for you. She will fight you tooth and nail. She'll pull out all her tricks and manipulations and use them to try to prevent this from happening. She'll press all your buttons. Your mother will give the acting performance of her life, worthy of an Academy Award. But the bottom line is, more than anything, she wants and needs a relationship with you. She will eventually follow your guidelines if that is her only option. And trust me, she will be just fine. You won't believe how independent and resilient your mother can be when necessary. In the beginning, it will be difficult for you to stand your ground. As a person who has pleased most of their life, this will feel very uncomfortable for you. But if you persist, that discomfort will turn to ease. I am living proof that it works. Your goal is to set healthy boundaries with your mother. You have to teach her how to treat you and hold her accountable for any negative behavior. When you tell your mother no, you must say it without offering apologies or explanations. It's the same exact principle as disciplining a child. No means no. If you bend the rules or cave to her pressure, she'll never learn that you mean what you say. And don't skirt around issues. Be yourself and be direct. Believe me, she's more terrified of losing you than you are of standing up to her. She'll eventually have to do things your way. And then every time she tries her usual tactics to see how far she can push you, make it clear that if she doesn't stop, you will leave, hang up the phone, etc. You are in charge now. Don't tolerate it. She'll eventually learn to play the game your way. You'll need a solid support system to steer you in the right direction and continually validate that what you are doing is not rude, abusive, or hurtful to someone else. You'll also need the support to help you see how these unhealthy patterns affect your relationships with others. If you really want to put this all behind you once and for all, I strongly recommend getting the help of a therapist, preferably one that specializes in family issues. I don't think I could have accomplished my complete healing without the help of my therapist. Family therapy is an option if you can get your mother to invest herself in it, but don't count on that. If your mother doesn't think she did anything wrong, she won't understand why she needs help. When you begin the healing process, especially if you're fed up and angry, it may be very hard to assert yourself and be nice to your mother at the same time. I had to put my mother completely out of my life in order to gain the strength I needed to stand up to her. I didn't speak to her in over a year. That hurt her terribly because she didn't understand what the problem was. That's an extreme measure, and you may have to do it. But that's how bad I was hurting and how much I wanted the pain to stop. Now, it helps if you have siblings that are willing to love and support you or even participate in retraining mom. It also keeps your mother from playing one sibling against another. But in most cases, each sibling reaches their saturation point at different times. My situation was twice as difficult as it should have been because of the judgment and scolding I received from my sisters. they thought I was the most horrible, cruelest person on this earth for handling things the way I did. So they rallied around and sympathized with my mother. One of my sisters kept citing the biblical law to me that we must honor our father and mother. That flipped me up a little bit, but my therapist helped me to understand that we have to honor ourselves first, and then only honor the honorable. The end result was I healed my childhood pain, and my sisters didn't. 10 years later, after they couldn't take the pain anymore, they both ended up having to do the same thing. There's simply no other way to make things better. It's either all or nothing. This cannot be done halfway. So be strong. In the beginning of my therapy, I couldn't begin to fathom ever having a relationship with my mother, let alone one that was comfortable, honest, and on my terms. But that's exactly what the outcome was. Today, there is nothing she can do to push my buttons, and she knows it. And even better, now that my sisters and I have a united front, she doesn't even try because she's afraid of the consequences. So we please when we want to please. We give when we want to give. We call when we want to call. With firm boundaries in place, our family as a whole functions better now than it ever did, and so will yours. Trust me, you can make it happen for you and your family too. We're out of time, but please feel free to contact me with any comments and questions you have by emailing me at afinetimeforhealing@randychfine.com. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, October 20th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as I discuss the topic, Domestic Violence, From Seduction to Survival. All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing. Welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary.